stone. Tapula doesn't miss a thing. You got it to come strong. Walt Deptula Road Rage. So now Lane Kiffin left Ole Miss because of the Confederate flag, Colonel Rebel, and the nickname Ole Miss itself. I mean, dude, you left for the money, all right? This is from apparently a Vanity Fair article. When he was coaching there, Kiffin says, top recruits would tell him, hey, coach, we really like you, but my grandparents aren't letting me move to Oxford, Mississippi. That doesn't come up when you say Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
It doesn't? Okay.
Parents were sitting here this weekend saying the campus diversity feels so great. It feels like there's no segregation. Oh, my God. The Lane Kiffin is... there can't be a more phony, fraudulent individual on the planet. Lane Kiffin just makes crap up as he goes in terms of what the reason is. No, Lane, it's because they paid you a lot more money and you thought you could win more there. It has nothing to do... I guess you were fine... You were fine with all that stuff when you took that job. You were fine with it all along until a better one came along. I mean, if you're such a conscientious objector, Lane, to Ole Miss, then I would have thought you would have just stepped down.
Yeah.
Right?
After the first time he tried to recruit.
Right. Oh, yeah, you're exactly right.
That is bad. You would have just, do that.
Yeah, you would have just stepped down. Exactly. Exactly. You would have taken the Confederate flag off your truck and you would have stepped down. Yeah. This is utterly laughable. Addison, Bengal John, and my man Jason. Addison, how are you? Addison, good to have you.
Hey, Walt, how are you?
Good. Thanks. Appreciate you getting in.
Have me on. I want to chime in a little bit on the NIL situation.
Yeah.
I think my perspective on it is, as a college student that's working right now, they have to somehow reiterate the importance of what it means to be a student athlete. I think about, like, last year in the championship, there was mention of Beck, you know, not taking courses at Miami or maybe having one or two classes. Like, I feel like there has to be more pushback from the admissions office. Now, I'm not an expert on transcripts or, you know.
And by the way, Addison, I think what Beck actually said is he graduated 2 years ago. Because people were asking him, he was asked about, you know, the difficulties of preparing for this game and education, all that. And he said, man, I graduated 2 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know how that works, but I think if you were to clamp down a little bit more on the academic side of it, I don't think you'd see as much movement. Contracts are big. They definitely need to be on contracts. But also, I mean, maybe some incentive for school pride. If you've got guys that have been at the school for, you know, 3+ years, maybe a little bit more change in their pocket. But I think another thing overall, the money shouldn't be as accessible as it is. You can't have a money grab where I'm going to bounce from school to school to school and load my pockets up. I feel like the money should be put away in like a retirement program or some kind of fund that they can't touch until, I mean, they can access but can't, like, fully deplete until they graduate or move on to the league.
Addison, I'm sorry, how old are you?
26.
Look at this, Ramona, 26, and Addison has all of sort of classic old-time bright ideas. I mean,
yeah, those are good ones.
Yeah, I think, Addison, look, you're all over it. I think you're 100% right. What I don't know is how you roll all that back. You know, I think...
See, I don't either.
Yeah, once you've given these kids all this stuff and all the court findings are always in their favor now, I don't know how you roll it back. I think that antitrust issue is the real key to... That's the control mechanism. And if you can, if you could just get that, then I think you could force contracts to be signed. I don't think you need to have employees or any of that stuff. I think you could force contracts to be signed if you had the antitrust exemption. And then I think you could control a lot of this, at least to a degree. I mean, again, I don't think you're ever rolling it back, but you can probably cap it and control it at that point.
Right. Well, I appreate it. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you, Addison. I like all your ideas. I think all your ideas are good.
Yeah.
Thank you, Addison.
Thank you.
Yep. Look, I think he's smart. I think everything he said, he's a 26-year-old, and I think everything he said is right. I just don't know how you do it. That's the dilemma, the execution part of it. Bengal, John, and Jason, the good callers continue. John, how are you? John, good to have you.
Good, Walt. I'm hoping you're doing well, you and Ramona.
Thank you, John.
You know, maybe I'm just an idiot, but I totally agree with you, not being an idiot on this, but I agree with you that the government surely can't figure anything out. They don't know the difference between a hammer and a screwdriver, and if they did, they wouldn't know how to use it.
Right.
And then they'd have to take a vote. They'd have to take a vote to determine which one they were going to use. But Walt, here's my problem.
Think about this, John. Think about this. If I gave you like a multiple choice, okay? Okay, the NCAA is going to cease to govern college football the next 2 years. And one of these, you know, I don't know, five organizations is going to replace it. I mean, I could put like the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts on the list and you choose them over the government.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's a mess, Walt, but I mean, and I get it, the floating of the balloon for the next 2 years to kind of see what sticks. I get all that, and I understand your points, and I'm not surely saying that you're wrong. But the one thing that I've never supported, is all this money for coaches. And I don't care if there is a max exodus to the NFL. Maybe if we find a way to cap coaching salaries, okay? Maybe if we find a way to do some of this stuff, you'll find out how loyal these coaches are to the school that they've gone to or been hired at. And you may see some continuity starting to build when coaches stick around instead of swapping for another school that's going to pay them $2.5 million more than what they're currently making.
Now, John,
I think it's ridiculous.
Now, John, who's older than Addison, who just called, we've had back-to-back callers, Ramona, of two different age groups, both use the word loyalty. And I guess the question I would have, John, and I would have asked Addison too, is does that word even exist anymore?
Well, I'm not sure it does, Walt, but the problem is that if it doesn't exist, then we have a more serious problem than just the money that's being paid, because you work all your life to have a nest egg so that you can retire and have for your family and pass on to your kids or whatever the case may be, whatever your goals are. And there is not a single listener on this radio that's probably made $10 million a year. I'll bet you there's not many. If there are, there's one or two, okay? And yet our teachers, to further this, our teachers are some of the lowest paid employees in the United States, but yet we're going to pay coaches who get privilege beyond measure, all kind of benefits.
But John,
we're going to pay them tens of millions of dollars, and half of them don't even do their job. Dabo Swinney's definitely not in that camp. He does his job.
Yeah.
But you tell me Kirby Smart is a loyal person who has Georgia's best interest at heart, and he's making $12 million. That's ludicrous. It's ludicrous.
Yeah, but again, John, it's a free market, and it's what those individuals have meant to the school from a financial standpoint. I mean, there's no way to measure what Dabo Swinney and Kirby Smart have meant financially to their respective institutions. There's no way to even measure that. It would be immense. I mean, you know, it's with students wanting to enroll and everything else. I mean, in bringing national championships to their respective schools. There's no way to even measure the financial impact that those individuals meant to their respective schools. So I can sort of understand.
Well, I just have a difference of opinion, Walt. I think they're all way too high to be paid. I mean, what they're getting, and I get it. They work 365 days a year, and they don't get a lot of time off. And a lot of times, it's 14, 16 hours, like Nick Saban said. My day never ends.
Yeah.
I get all that. But do you think they deserve $10, $11, $12 million?
I don't think you do. I think that that word deserve is funny to me because, again, I think in a free market, I think that many of them do. Now, some don't. They tend to get fired.
Well, thanks for taking my call,
Thank you, John.
I just had that opinion.
Yep, fair. It's fair. But I think that's just the reality of the free market situation and what some individuals mean to their schools. Now, again, some of them wind up getting paid to go away. That's a dilemma. That means you made a bad choice, in most cases, or, you know, perhaps they found greener grass. Jason in Columbia. Jason, how are you, Jason?
Well, I don't know if you ever watched the show Mad Men, brilliant show, but, you know, about advertising executives in New York City in the 50s and 60s. But there's a great meme. One of the main characters drunk while he's giving a presentation. And someone did this with NCAA in the background. And he's saying, college football, make it like the NFL, but with 120 teams full of 20-year-olds. Also, everyone is a free agent after every semester. Also, no salary cap. Expand the playoffs, and Notre Dame gets in no matter what. Perfection. You know?
Yeah, just, that's pretty much it.
It just feels that's like that's where we're going.
So I think, again, yeah. Jason, I think on this issue or alleged issues, I think that it's as simple to me as if you had contracts. If you had binding contracts, I think it would clear up a lot of this. I think it would make it all far more workable. And I think maybe we could find some level of agreement in order to be able to execute that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've talked about it before. There's no professional sport where people just get to be evergreen free agents. I mean, that's just absolute madness. You know, go talk to the Timberwolves and ask them how would they like it if Anthony Edwards just to say, oh, I want to go play for my hometown Hawks next season. And then after that, I want to go to play for the Lakers. You know, I mean, it just is madness. You know, that wouldn't work anywhere else.
So, yep.
I agree with you there. Hey, speaking of which, you know, I had to get in. What about the most vicious elbow I've ever seen? Disgusting. Adam Silver, where's your spine? Where's your decency? Should have been suspended for 10 games minimum. Wimby. What did you think about it? I did think it was a nasty shot.
I am shocked that he's playing game five. I'm absolutely shocked. I think that Ron Artest threw a similar elbow. I mean, Artest's a little stronger than Wimby, but the motion and the intent was the same. And he got suspended, I believe, seven games. And so, you know, for Wembanyama to face no additional suspension, I think it's sort of mind-boggling, quite honestly. I mean, and I think clearly what it shows is the NBA is not willing to actually discipline their stars because, again, had this been Ron Artest instead of Wembanyama, he'd be out. There's no question he'd be out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I know
we make fun of Kendrick Perkins, but he made a good point today. He brought up a video of himself getting suspended for a game where he barely headbutted someone on the opposing team, just walked up to him after a foul.
Ramona. There's your oxy. Yeah. There's your oxymoron. There's your oxymoron alert, Ramona. Barely headbutted. Hey, Ramona, after the show, I might barely headbutt you.
Especially from a 6'11" guy.
That's right.
Yeah, but, you know, I tended to – look, obviously, I'm a Timberwolves fan, so it's like I told Faxon, you know, Frank Howard once said, "To hell with the best team winning. I want us to win." So, you know, there's that part of it. But at the same time, you know, you don't want to see anybody get suspended. But, man, I'm telling you, the way he reared back and with his bony elbows, you know, they talk about Rudy Gobert having bony elbows. I mean, he made contact with him in his throat. And you know this, Walt. I mean, you're a martial arts guy. You can seriously injure 100%. Somebody hitting them in the throat like that.
You know, and also there was a time that just there would have been on court discipline for that. You know what I mean? I mean, how do the T-Wolves? I know it's a playoff still. I mean, man, you just cannot let that happen. But yeah, I don't know how the NBA does not suspend him for at least one more game. At least one more game. I was truly shocked. I didn't see that until I got in here today. And when I saw that, I thought, are you kidding me? Because I had basically decided, well, you know what? They're not going to suspend him for the rest of the series, but at the very least, he'll be out game five. And why does it make a difference? Because it may change the whole series. I mean, if he's out in game five and the T-Wolves steal game five, the T-Wolves probably win the series. But if you let him play, then, you know, it's probably going to go their way. And I think he should have been further suspended. I'll tell you this. Your T-Wolves have to play way better basketball than they're playing if they have any designs on winning this. Because, I mean, I thought, first of all, you know, I thought Ant was good down the stretch, but just way too much one-on-one. And they needed to string some stops again. They couldn't get any stops for the longest time. And when you're trailing, and, you know, there was increasing game pressure being put on the T-Wolves because they were trailing, and obviously a game they could not lose. And it just it didn't look like they were going to get those stops. And look, that's a – I don't think people understand how talented San Antonio is other than Wembanyama. There are lots
guards,
of times
man. They just have a rotation of guards.
They're just it's a gifted team. And you know what? Everybody talks about Wembanyama's defense. As a group, they move their feet better when he isn't on the court. I mean, their defense was really good. And you know, they still had rim protection. So
Cornette played well.
He did play well. In fact, I think the mistake they made is they took him out late. But you know, it was one of those situations where I was wondering if you were ever going to get over the top. Shannon hit some big shots. Shannon hit like
two corner threes,
and right before that, he hit a jumper from above the foul line. So I think he scored like eight straight or something, or 8 of 10, and those were major points at a time that you were barely connected. You know, you were teetering between being connected and being not connected. The lead was like 8-10 points, and you wondered whether, you know, the T-Wolves were going to keep it close or whether it was going to expand. Man, I don't know, Jason. Yeah. You might want to have somebody injure Wembanyama early in game.
Julius Randle.
Five, that's right.
Volunteer, the way he's played. Jesus, people were saying, how can we get Randle ejected after he was turning it over and over
I know. It's unbelievable the amount of turnovers Randle has made. It's just, and obviously you can't have that. Well, you know, Jason, I don't know how you won game one out there, but you got to find a way to win game five. I mean, that's pretty much what it comes down to. I mean,
hey, let's get the brooms out. I feel a little sweep coming on again tonight. Let's get the brooms out, baby, in L.A.
That's going to happen. But I'm, you know, I'm rooting for your T-Wolves, Jason, but I'm not overly optimistic, but I'll tell you who I am optimistic about, as I've been for weeks now, the Knicks. I think the Knicks are the best team in the NBA.
Cat is playing like prime Joker, except for with defense.
He is. I mean, and as a team, they're just playing remarkable basketball. And you know what? I'll tell you the truth. Nobody is playing better than Brunson. Nobody. I mean, nobody. I don't care who you pick. You can talk about all the MVP candidates you want. No one's playing better than he is.
I'm pulling for Cat out of the East big time. I love that dude.
Yeah, well, I mean, I look, Detroit's not going to stop him. I just don't think so. I mean, I think Detroit's fortunate to be where they are at this point. They're not dynamic enough. They're, you know, and Cunningham's turned the ball over a lot. He doesn't have enough help. It's just too much. They're not good in the half court. I just can't see them beating the Knicks. I think the Knicks might kill them if we wind up with that.
Yeah.
If we wind up with that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the Knicks take that big step up in whoever comes out of the
West.
Can
you imagine?
Obviously, it's looking like probably the Thunder or Spurs.
Well, and think about this. You know, given what the Knicks just did to Philadelphia, I mean, Philadelphia came back from 3-1 and beat Boston. So how bad was Boston?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and it would be unbelievable for New York if the Knicks were actually to win the NBA title. It'd be, you know what?
And with Cat is their number two guy after all the trash people have talked about him.
Well, you know what? It's even hard to figure out who the two guy is, Jason. They're so good.
Yeah, I mean, and Obi, if he's healthy.
I mean, and so even without him, they destroyed him. They look great. Jason, I got to run. Good talking to you as always. Quick break.
You know, warm and comfortable weather reminds me how we can get creative in and out of the kitchen when thinking of and preparing meals.
47627. Just going back to this commission for a second. I mean, this is a nice little list of things that none of which I think they floated this trial balloon. I don't think any of those things can be achieved. I also think that I think that the only thing that matters is whether players are going to sign binding contracts or not. And if you get the antitrust deal, then I think you can you can force the binding contract deal, and I think that's how you fix most of this. I don't think you need to fool with most of that rest of that stuff. I think that stuff is window dressing. It's trying to justify the committee's existence. It's just spitballing going awry. I don't think any of it is needed or necessary. In a perfect world, maybe, but I don't think you're ever going to get that type of control. And I think some of the things that they're suggesting are actually sort of scary in terms of the well-being of college athletics. I just saw this from NBA history. On this day in 1980, Dr. J started walking in the air with the iconic scoop layup as versus the Lakers in Game 4 of the 80 NBA Finals. That's when he went from one side of the rim to the other and went past Abdul-Jabbar in the process. It's one of the greatest individual moves ever. And Irving could do that stuff because not only was he a great leaper, but because his arms were 12 feet long and he could palm the ball like a tennis ball. So, you know, he could do anything with the ball in the air. Without question, he's the greatest in-air performer the game of basketball has ever seen. Jordan's not even close. Not even close. Doug Collins, who was with both, even acknowledged as much. And that's just the reality of it. For all of Jordan's leaping ability, nobody ever did the things that Irving did with the ball in the air. It's impossible. I mean, you know, and this was just one example. You know, I was thinking earlier today, and the worst part is, Ramona, I actually left my piece of paper on the table. But I was thinking about the most underrated NBA players of all time. And it really was all time. Actually, what started me thinking about this was I saw something yesterday on social media where, like, every day you wake up and you see things on social media, like, I'm sorry, what? Where did that come from? And they're comparing John Havlicek to Michael Jordan. And, like, people arguing who's the better player, John Havlicek or Michael Jordan. I'm sorry, how did we get to that? Well, apparently one of the ways we got to it was that Havlicek won 8 titles. Now, you've got a bunch of people on social media arguing about Havlicek. They don't even know who he was. But we're having debates about Michael Jordan and John Havlicek. John Havlicek was my father's favorite player. And what Havlicek was he was one of the greatest mid-range shooters in the history of the game. He was more so than any other player. In fact, let me rephrase that. He was the greatest mid-range shooter in the history of the game. John Havlicek was the greatest mid-range shooter in basketball history. What he also was he was nonstop movement. And in other words, Havlicek believed that even if he was tired, that you were more tired having to guard him because he never stopped moving. You see guys today just stand on one side of the court. If they don't get the ball, they just stand there. Havlicek never stopped moving. Like, personally, when I was playing basketball, I hated covering guys who never stopped moving. And no one ever stopped moving like John Havlicek. You want to say something?
No, I'm just listening.
But he was the greatest mid-range shooter in history. I mean, Richard Hamilton was a great mid-range shooter. And Hamilton moved without the ball, too. But Havlicek, without the ball, moved better and more consistently than any player in history. He's truly one of the great players of all time, without question. And so that's what got me thinking about the most underrated players of all time, because I think Havlicek falls in that category. You know, is he Michael Jordan? No, but he was incredible. And before Larry Bird came along, you know, everybody knew that. But I think that he's certainly one, you know, it can a guy who scored 27,000 points or whatever he scored be underrated? Yeah, I think he can. I think in some ways Kareem is underrated. And then we talk about the best who ever played, and somehow his name isn't part of that conversation. You know, people put him fifth or sixth. I mean, you know, fifth or sixth, 6 MVPs, 6 NBA championships, 3 college championships, would have been 4 if freshmen were eligible. And yet somehow he seems to not make the very tip top of the list when it comes to that conversation. So I think in a way, in an odd way, I think he's sort of underrated. But, you know, GSP posted things on my Twitter feed the other day, posted a photo of Nate Thurman. Nate Thurman is one of the greatest defensive centers who ever lived. You know, people think that like athletes are always better. Nate Thurman was nearly 7 feet tall, and he was just human fast twitch muscle. I mean, just incredibly strong and a tremendous athlete. And if it wasn't for like Bill Russell and Chamberlain, probably the greatest defensive center who ever lived. I mean, and he was a guy who for his career averaged like 20 rebounds. Nate Thurman did. And I don't think people even know that he played. You know, and his whole career, he probably, let me just look at his stats. But again, he was a guy who would definitely fall in this category. As, you know, I don't think people realize how great some of the centers were back in, you know, for example, Russell's time. I don't think people have any idea. Everybody had a center, and the game was played differently. For his career, he averaged 15 rebounds a game for his career. He finished as high as second in the MVP voting. In his prime years, he averaged, for example, in 67-68, he averaged 20.5 points a game and 22 rebounds a game. He went through a period of 5 straight years where he averaged 18 or more rebounds a game. And 3 of them were 20. Actually, his career numbers were hurt by the end of his career. He had 4 seasons where he probably should have retired and kept playing, and all those career averages were hurt some. But, you know, historically speaking, he would be a guy. Walt Bellamy would be a guy. Willis Reed would be a guy. The great centers of the past, all of those would be among the most underrated players. People have no idea how good Willis Reed was. I mean, Willis Reed was an unbelievable basketball player. And then I think, like, you know, again, in that time frame, you had a guy named Dave DeBuscher of the Knicks, who I think was one of the more underrated players who ever lived. A guy named Gus Johnson, who played for the Bullets at the time, who was, other than Chamberlain, the strongest player to ever play the game. He was 6'6". And then, you know, I think guys like James Worthy. I think James Worthy was underrated both from a college standpoint and from a professional standpoint. I think Worthy is one of the more underrated players that ever played the game, period. I mean, he certainly falls in that category. I'm interested in what you people think is other underrated NBA players, because I just think there were so many of them. And again, it was the Havlicek thing that sort of spawned the thought process. But then I started thinking about guys who are playing now who are underrated. And I think there are a lot of those. But, you know, historically speaking, I think there have been so many guys. I mean, again, you go into the Wayback Machine. Like, there's a guard who played for the Lakers named Gail Goodrich, who was a lefty who played with Jerry West. If it wasn't for Jerry West, Goodrich would have been considered one of the greatest guards to ever play. I mean, he was incredible out of UCLA, a sharp shooting lefty, and had some big scoring years. I think, historically speaking, he was certainly underrated. You go even further back in history, and I think the Celtics had some of the more underrated players. I think Sam Jones is one of the most underrated players of all time. I think that actually Heinsohn was probably underrated. But I think there were a lot of guys in that in that time period who played on those Celtic championship teams that were underrated players. But Havlicek, I mean, Havlicek was unique. I mean, he's unique in basketball history. Like I said, I think he's the greatest mid-range shooter the game has ever seen. And he was nonstop energy, just never stopped moving. All right, we have lots to get to. You can get in on that if you want. 654-7627, quick break.
Running a business means wearing multiple hats. So if you're like me, you probably started out using your personal...
Also, if Jerry West didn't have to play Russell, he might be the best player of all time. Again, look, I've made these arguments. In fact, I made this argument, again, after the logo show appeared. And I've said this before in the past. Look, I think Kobe Bryant's one of the greatest players of all time, without question. I think Jerry West was better. I think in every category, Jerry West was better. And I just think that's the reality. It's a reality that people can't accept, but it's just the reality. I mean, and I think West was more dominant in his time period. And again, if he did not face the Russell Celtics, he would have had like 10 championships. And that was just, you know, that's the part that made him so ill. But you look at every single category. I mean, scoring average, shooting percentages, rebounds, assists. West was better than Kobe in every single category. He was also a great defensive player. And so is he underrated? You know, you'd like to think no, but he is now. I mean, there's no question he is. I mean, because, again, you know, I'll tell you something else about West. West is the most important central figure in the history of the NBA. Whether as a player, a coach, a front office guy, he's the most instrumental figure in the history of the NBA. But speaking strictly as a player, I mean, look, the best pure point guard who ever played this game is Magic Johnson. The two best backcourt guys are West and Jordan. Now, Oscar Robertson would disagree with that because he thinks he was better than Jordan. I mean, I heard Oscar Robertson being interviewed one time, and he can make this case too. And Robertson was asked this. He was asked, you know, how would you stop Jordan if you were going up against Jordan? And Robertson said, that's not the question. He said, the question is, how would he stop me? And I don't think people realize how great a player he was. You know, so I think all of those guys, by virtue of time, are underrated now. You know, it's like we talk about these other guys now and act like they're better players than those cats were. They weren't. Bob Pettit is a guy who's basically never been recognized. You know, and Bob Pettit for his career averaged like 26 and 17. Not to mention the fact he's the only guy who won during the Russell era. Now, Russell has sprained ankle in that series, but Pettit scored 50 points in game 6 for St. Louis when they upset the Celtics, and St. Louis went on to win the title. So, yeah, I mean, no question. I got JQ Calls gives me a Kevin McHale. Yeah, maybe, in some ways, maybe McHale. You know, McHale had hands of stone. I got Dennis Johnson from several people. That's a guy I actually had on my list. Larry Bird said Dennis Johnson's the best player I ever played with. Not McHale, not Parrish. I mean, the only guy who ever fed McHale in the post was Bird because he had hands of stone. He just couldn't catch the ball. And so they always had Bird on the same side of the court, and it would be Bird executing the post feeds because the passes had to be perfect in order for McHale to handle it. Texas said, maybe a bit biased, but I love the guy. But Dwayne Wade, I feel like, was underrated all the time. Guy was straight dog with no help till later in his career. I buy that. I buy Dwayne Wade is underrated from a historical standpoint. I agree with that. Yep, I think that's a good call. Dwayne Wade was an incredible, just absolutely incredible player. And yeah, I think you're right. I think he is underrated. What else do I have here? I got multiple Wes Unselds. Wes Unseld, like 6'8" high and like 6'8" wide. You know,
before, how is that possible?
Well, because that's what he was. Before there was a Charles Barkley, there was a Wes Unseld. And much like Charles Barkley, he never lifted a weight. Unseld, you know, we talk about the strongest players who ever played the game. Unseld is top five strongest player who ever lived. I mean, Unseld was a frigging brick wall. I mean, 6'8", probably, I don't care what they list him at, probably 280 pounds. It was like running into a brick wall. He's also the greatest outlet passer. With all due respect to Bill Walton and in that regard, and to Bill Russell and to a few others, the greatest outlet passer in history was Wes Unseld. So, yeah, I would say Wes Unseld was underrated. J.Q. Hall says Ben Wallace. Maybe, you know, Ben Wallace was a great defender, 6'9", powerful, really good rebounder, good defensive player, obviously very limited offensively. I buy this. Texas said Scottie Pippen gets credit, but he's a do-it-all, all-around player than better in 99% of history, top 20 player of all time. I don't know about top 20 of all time, but I agree with the rest of what you said. I think Scottie Pippen truly is one of the more underrated players in history. You know, they always say that, you know, Scottie Pippen never won anything without Michael Jordan. Jordan never won anything without Scottie Pippen. It was Pippen who put the run in the Bulls. Jordan was primarily a walking up the court, half-court player. It was Pippen who put the run in the Bulls. And the other thing is, you know, Pippen acquiesced in the fourth quarter. But he didn't really have to. I mean, but he was a good teammate in that regard. You know, he said some crazy things after his career was over, like a lot of crazy things. But the text is right. I mean, Scottie Pippen could, you know, we use this terminology all the time. We talk about, well, a guy can guard any position. Scottie Pippen can basically guard any position. You know, you might not want him to guard a dominant five, but he could basically guard any position. He was super athletic, long-armed. He became a better and better offensive player. He's one of the great defensive players the game has ever seen. I buy that. Texas says, well, Dominique Wilkins was underrated. First human highlight guy that made Atlanta relevant. KT in Athens. Yeah, KT, I'm not buying that one. I just think that Dominique was what he was. He was sort of a show. Now, he did have to get by Bird and the Celtics, which just wasn't happening. He did have the mano-a-mano deal with Bird. He was certainly spectacular athletically. But Jack Ramsey, the legendary Portland coach, was asked that once. He was asked about Dominique and Bird. And when he got done laughing, he said, as far as Dominique is concerned, he said, look, when you throw enough crap, use the actual word, when you throw enough crap up against the wall, something has to stick. That was Ramsey's explanation of Dominique Wilson. Dominique Wilkins, he was absolutely the human highlight machine. He's, you know, we talk about the great leapers of all time. Dominique Wilkins, first of all, On the greatest dunkers of all time, Dominique might be the greatest dunker of all time because not only was he so freakishly athletic, but he was a power dunker too, and he was a 2-foot dunker. So he was incredible, and he was a scoring machine. I'll give him that. I don't know about underrated, though. I don't know if I'd call him underrated. JQ says Derrick Rose. Well, look, Derrick Rose was on his way to being one of the greatest players of all time, and he got hurt. I don't know how you incorporate that in that. But multiple people with Wes Unseld. Tiger Guy Andy says Alex English. You know, Alex English out of South Carolina was one of the great scorers, obviously, of all time. He was a great mid-range shooter too. You know, for a guy who he didn't do it with like fast twitch athleticism. I mean, Alex wasn't a great leaper. You seldom, if ever, saw him dunk. He was a master of the half inch, and he was a master of the mid-range, and he is one of the great scorers the game has ever seen. I think Dan Issel was a guy that we mentioned the other day in a different conversation. Dan Issel is one of the great players the league has ever seen. I think Rick Barry's underrated. Rick thinks so, too.
He thinks yes. that of himself?
Yes, yes. Don't you remember, don't you remember our conversation about Rick Barry? Even at 81, he's still complaining.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. What else do we have here? Oh, look, Dee Dee is here. Food for thought. Let's see. What do we have here? This is a long message, Dee Dee. I'm gonna have to digest this message from you during the break. Dexter said, Pete Maravich and Moses Malone. I'm buying the Moses Malone. I'm not buying the Maravich. Maravich is maybe the most overrated player of all time. Not most underrated. He's most overrated, both as a college player and as a pro. Pete Maravich, probably the most, one of the most overrated players this side of Luka Doncic in my lifetime. Moses Malone, though, underrated. Moses Malone was a friggin' beast. I mean, you know, many times he was the only guy who knew where his shot was going. So, but he was one of the greatest offensive rebounders the game has ever seen. And he was just a friggin' machine. And he played hard all the time. And he was an absolute monster. So, Moses Malone, I'm 100% buying. JQ says Luke Longley. Well, that's a reach, JQ. I mean, I don't even think Luke Longley thought he was underrated. I don't know about that. Mr. Fender hits a guy on my list. Mr. Fender with Bernard King. Bernard King, you know, again, King came out of Tennessee. Oh, that's Mr. Fender's connection. He came out of Tennessee. He was the Ernie and Bernie show. Ernie Grunfeld and Bernard King played together in college, and both went on to be good pros. And obviously, King went on to be Grunfeld went on to be a NBA executive too with the Knicks. But there was a period of about 2 years where Bernard King was the greatest scoring machine this side of Wilt Chamberlain. I mean, he had a series against the Detroit Pistons in the playoffs where he averaged like 48 points a game or something. He was absolutely unstoppable for a period of 2 years. You know, he had knee injuries, which probably kept him down a little bit. But, yeah, I'm buying that. Texter said, I saw Bernard King score like 59 with one leg sticking straight out. Right. Exactly. And he was really athletic. He didn't look athletic. He had like a big caboose, and he didn't look athletic. He looks sort of odd, but he was not only athletic. He had what I would describe as like a quick shot jump shot, and he would back you down to like 10 or 12 feet and just turn, shoot right over. He's like 6'6". He just turned, shoot right over you. And he would shoot it on the way up. And it was just such a quick motion. There's like nothing you could do about it if you wanted to. I mean, and he was truly absolutely unstoppable. Absolutely unstoppable. Texter said Zion Williamson. I'm going to assume that's a joke. Texter said Jason White Chocolate Williams. No, 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 no. And right, massively underrated. No, he's on the most overrated list of all time. Sorry. So we have a couple misses now, Ramona. That's a complete whiff. I mean, one of the most overrated players in the history of the game. You've been watching too many highlights on social media because that's the only time his name ever comes up. I mean, no, he was just a street ball player in a pro basketball league. He actually sort of sucked. So he's massively overrated. I like this one, JQ. Clyde Drexler. This is a fact. Clyde Drexler, from a historical standpoint, first of all, he's one of the greatest athletes that ever played. He's one of the greatest one-foot jumpers that ever played. He's probably a two-foot jumper, too. But, you know, even back in college at Houston, he was unbelievable. There are some dunks that you can watch of Clyde Drexler that you watch today and you think, okay, I've never seen anything like that. Even today, that you've never seen anything like that. That tells you what a freak he was. The only thing that kept Clyde Drexler from more fame was Michael Jordan. Because that Portland team was super freakishly talented, and Adelman was a part of that. We'll talk about it on the other side. Quick break.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the...